I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto, let's have some fun today. We don't do green screens on this show. So Soto is literally flying in a helicopter right now over Allegiant Stadium. It's hovering perfectly.
I'm hanging out of a Goodyear blimp with no wind whatsoever.
No wind, no gyrations, perfectly situated. We were going to get you a studio, but we thought, no, let's just fly him over Allegiant Stadium.
Perfect. It's cheaper. Weather. It's cheaper.
It's better.
Yeah. All I had to do today is sit through a 2-hour presentation, and I got a free helicopter ride. I said, you know what? I know the perfect way to use it.
There you go. There's nothing we won't do for the windbags. It's that important to us.
You know,
question of the day. We don't do it all the time, but we thought we'd bring it back. And I thought we got with, you know, a really, really easy question that won't involve any controversy or discussion or arguments. Everyone will all be on the same page. RJ said sarcastically. Who will be the Raiders starting quarterback week one? And here we are a week and a half before one week before the draft. The only Raiders on the depth chart that have any chance of playing are Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell. As of right this second, the Raiders are still sitting at 13. There hasn't been any trades of up or down or whatever. There hasn't been any new giant news about quarterback. And yet, no one really truly knows, from Mark Davis to Tom Telesco to Antonio Pierce to Soto or me, who the starting quarterback is going to be for the Raiders week one. So we ask you, let us know in the comments section, who do you think the Raiders starting quarterback will be week one? This is your chance to sound off and say, I called it. I called it in April that we were going to draft so-and-so, or so-and-so was going to beat out so-and-so, or that's what was going to happen. This is your chance to sound off. Because I have my feelings, Soto. I have my guesses. And I'm doing the math, right? Like, okay, well, you know, these are the quarterbacks on board, and this is our spot in the draft. And so I think so-and-so. But if you think there's an over 50% chance that any name is quarterback, I think you're crazy, but I want you to sound off and be able to say, I told you so, come early September.
Well, when you don't have a lot of information, because we're missing a big piece of information, we're missing who the third quarterback is going to be. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be, you know, one of the rookies that we draft? Is it going to be somebody that we get off the street? Is it going to be an undrafted guy? Because we didn't draft the guy, you know, in the draft itself. There's a lot of unknowns. So you got to think logically. Number one, you got to follow the money. Minshew's making more money. He's got more starts. He's got more experience. He hasn't played bad when he started. In that respect, that leans a little bit towards him. Now, you talk about, you know, offensive familiarity. Both of these guys are coming in brand new offense. He's a brand new OC, so you can't give O'Connell the heads up on that because he's been in the system for 2 years, because he hasn't. I don't know that if we pick without picking anyone of the top like two, those are the only two quarterbacks I see starting right away is Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. That's it. The other guys, they're going to sit for a little bit, I think, before they start. So it's not going to be.
Well, I think there's a possibility like a Penix or a Nix. Could start.
No, I don't think so. There's a big, big issue that I have with quarterbacks who haven't had to adjust protection, who haven't had to, take snaps under center. There's nobody on the sidelines with a big cue card showing them, you know, what the plays are and stuff like that. It's a whole different ball game in that respect. There's going to be a learning curve, especially for those two guys, because those offenses, those were like run and gun, like, you know, look for a couple of hand signals and a cue card and then off you go. the checks were made by the coaches. They weren't made. They didn't make their own audibles and stuff. They didn't do their own audibles. And they're not like unique snowflakes when it comes to that. Like a lot of college quarterbacks come into the NFL like that. But, you know, my main thing is if you're going to start in the NFL as a quarterback, you have to be able to protect yourself. And if you don't understand or have a high level understanding of protection, of sliding protection, of blitzes, of where the pressure's coming from, stuff like that, if you haven't had to do it, I don't see them starting right away.
Well, we can definitely eliminate any free agent quarterback right now. There's no free agent quarterback that's going to start over Gardner or Farva, right? We can eliminate that. We can definitely eliminate any quarterback drafted. Like, I'll disagree that I think if we do go first round, I think there's a stronger possibility that he starts week one than you think. But you make great points. Like, there's, you know, if we draft Penix or Nix in the first round or whatever happens, that there's a really good chance that we sit him for a while until they figure it out. And that's certainly a possibility. I think there's a stronger chance that they do start than you do, but it's, you know, this one, I'm not going to like die on that hill by any means whatsoever. You make great points. But unless we draft, unless it's a first round, or maybe, and we'll get to it later in the show, there's these like possibilities that Penix slips into the second, or, you know, and Nix in the second. I assume there's a possibility that they start for us. But other than that, it's literally either only first round quarterback, Favre or Minshew. I can't think of any free agent, any second, third, fourth round quarterback, any like, there's really no other situation, right? There's no other plausible scenario. Like, is there a trade out there that makes sense? Is there any other quarterback out there other than the two we have and a first rounder starting for us week one? There can't be.
There really isn't. There really isn't. Yeah. There's not a scenario out there where that's going to happen. And I just don't see it, man. I don't see us getting Williams or Daniels. I don't see that. So there's that. The other guys, I mean, even like McCarthy, who's been in more of a pro-style offense under center, you know, turning his back to the defense on play actions and stuff like that, you know, that's another thing, too. A lot of these – most of these guys don't turn their backs to the defense. Mm-hmm. You know, they're in shotgun most of the time. So, I mean, it's I just don't see it right now. I don't see it.
This is something I was wondering. If Minshew and Farva are exactly equal, Farva gets the start. He's been there longer. He's cheaper. You're like, and he obviously like more reps are better for the second year player, right? Like if all things are equal, we'd rather have Farva start. I'm wondering if Minshew, and I'm using like not real numbers because like there's like it's not this concrete, but let's say Minshew, the coaching staff thinks Minshew is 10% better than Aiden O'Connell. He's 10% better. I think they still start Farva. Now, if Minshew is like clearly better and you think here's like, is he going to be a big difference between wins and losses, then they go with Minshew. But because Farva's cheaper, you have him longer, the more he plays, the faster he's going to get better. Like Minshew's in his fifth year, right? So it's like, he's not going to exponentially get better with every game he plays. Whereas there's a good chance that Aiden O'Connell will be in that same situation. Where do you stand on that? Do you think that there's a number where it's like, all right, if Minshew, they think Minshew's 10% better, but we're still going to start Farva? Or do you think it's just like, no, whoever the best guy is, all other factors, throw it out the window. It's literally, who do we think gives us a 1% better chance of winning in this game? That's who starts.
That depends on one big thing. Who we take in the draft and where we take them. If we take a guy in the first or second round or high up that we think is going to be the future at quarterback, there's no need to really rush the development of Aiden O'Connell. Mm-hmm. It's whoever is the better quarterback from the two.
At that point, the question is, do we start who we draft? Right at that point, it's like when does the rookie come?
When is he ready?
Right. So when are those reps more valuable than the risk of them losing or not? Are being completely lost, right? Yeah. It's like the equation's different at that point because like those reps are so valuable for their development, but you don't want them to be just completely shit in the bed. You know what I mean? You got to find a gray area somewhere.
I believe that Telesco and AP are more of the understanding that they're used to not starting a guy right away. When Telesco was in Indy and they got Andrew Luck, they had nothing else at quarterback there. So he had to start. And plus he was really good, so he was able to. With Herbert, he wasn't the starter right away. And he got forced into a start because, you know, some freak accident pregame. So I don't see I see the race like we're talking about being between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Whoever's 1% better, whoever gives you the better chance to win is who's gonna start. Because if you have that young quarterback, you're saying I'm taking this quarterback high because I don't see Aiden O'Connell as being my future. If I was positive that this is my future quarterback, I'm not gonna take a quarterback high up
if they do go first round quarterback, that equation completely changes. Now the development of Aiden O'Connell is not just
that's the backseat we talked about earlier.
It's 17 rows back. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, that's what we talked about earlier. There's a lot of unknowns right now, so you have to follow the logic. Right now, the way things are, whoever gives you a better chance to win. It's not about developing Aiden O'Connell right now. It's about who gives you the better shot to win.
Let's say there isn't a rookie quarterback. I think that still is part of the equation. I think that giving Aiden O'Connell reps and him on paper, potentially and hopefully, getting better and better with every start goes into the equation. And
that's walk up to Devontae Adams' locker and tell him that. Well, we know that Gardner Minshew is better, but you know, we want to give Aiden O'Connell a little bit more seasoning.
And so I would continue that with say, all right, we're in week 13. Do you want Gardner Minshew where we know who he is?
We're not talking about week 13. We're talking about week one.
I'm saying, this is my pitch is saying, all right, now, why are we starting in week one? Because in week 13, don't you want, when we're in the heat of the playoffs and things are getting fired up, do you want an Aiden, a Gardner Minshew that you kind of know his ceiling and know who he is? Or do you think that we can have a 13 better games Aiden O'Connell that can take us better, that can be better than Gardner Minshew? That would be the pitch.
He wants to win now, dude. He's not worried about week 13. He's worried about week one. He's worried about winning week one. That's all great and well if you're 24 years old, which Devontae Adams is not. And so that pitch is not gonna fly.
I don't think there's a single pitch that says Gardner Minshew's your quarterback that Devontae Adams is like, hell yeah, that sounds awesome.
If he's clearly better, then yeah. That's
clearly better and going to be better forever.
So now you're asking, now you're bringing in different caveats. Is he better to win? Devontae Adams is not worried about week 13. He's worried about week one, and then in week two, he's worried about week two.
He's absolutely worried about week 13. He's worried about the whole season.
I think you're absolutely wrong. I think he's worried about winning week one, because what good is it if Favre is better week 13 than Minshew if you're 4-9.
Well, this is the thing. I'm not saying if it's Gardner Minshew is three times better than Favre and you're going to lose every game with Favre until he gets better at week 13. But if it's, that's the question I'm asking. If it's a 10% difference, right? Like they're really close, you know, Minshew's clearly better, but slightly, but the development that comes with starting.
I don't think you give Minshew all that money if you're not going to make it a fair competition.
We know what Minshew is, and there's literally no scenario we go to Devontae Adams and say Gardner Minshew's your quarterback, and he's like, great, perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. We are set, right? Like, there's no one in that building. Like, we're all hoping Gardner Minshew plays well. No one in the building's like, Gardner Minshew's the man. Like, we're good.
Like, it's not about Gardner Minshew being the man. It's about who the future of your quarterback room is. And we all know that they may not take one because of the way the board falls and how things work out, But they, we all know they want to draft a quarterback because they're not convinced.
They fucking better. Well, they better.
Either one of these two guys here, they don't see them being the long-term answer at quarterback.
If they end up being it, okay.
But you don't pay Minshew the type of money that you paid him to give him a kind of a handicap for starting. No, you pay him because it's going to be a competition. Who's it going to be? One or the other?
We're pretty lockstep in, you know, Aiden O'Connell. Most likely his ceiling isn't drastically higher than we all kind of seen. Hopefully we're wrong. But more or less, you and I are pretty in lockstep. I'm like, all right, his ceiling's probably this. But at least there's a little mystery with Aiden O'Connell's ceiling. There's a little mystery. He's played one season. He played half the games. And it was completely smeared by the shit kickery that was Josh McDaniels. He had to overcome the worst coach in football, didn't get starting reps, right? Like, there's a lot that went wrong for him, and he still went 5-5, right? He went 5-5 on a team with all these things going against him. Towards the end, right, we all know the stats. In the last four games, 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. You know, there's some mystery to what his ceiling is. We, you know, let's find out what that ceiling is. Gardner Minshew, there's zero mystery. And I think that's the selling point to Devonta Adams or any other veteran on that team is, okay, Gardner Minshew, we're glad he's a Raider. You know, top 5 backups in the NFL. He can be a starter for you. He can do good things for you. He's taking teams to playoffs. You know, we know what he is, but there's no version of what he is where you're excited. There's a version of Aiden O'Connell, but there's some mystery. There's a, maybe we can do it. And again, I'm not saying if Minshew's crushing Aiden O'Connell, you sacrifice the first 10 games of the season to give Favre reps. But if it's close, I think you say, okay, let's lean in on the mystery. Let's lean in on Favre getting reps. And Minshew sits if it's close enough, wherever that number of close enough is.
I mean, we're just going to have to disagree on that. I mean, the Gardner Minshew took a team that was, 2-2, 2-3, something like that. Mm-hmm. And they were a one drop pass away by a running back from making the playoffs. So he's shown that he can do it. He's shown that he can win games. Mm-hmm. So,
You see his mullet on his when they did the Raiders social, did like every, all, like the players showing up for voluntary mini camp on Monday.
Uh-huh.
You see that mullet,
dude? He
it was tight. It was like a mohawk mullet.
Yeah, it's that was Southern right there. That's a Southern mullet. That sucker is nice and tight on the sides and flowing on the back.
That was a mosh pit mullet in Knoxville.
Oh, that was like a Sunday mullet right there. That's like you go to church to scoop some ass.
Oh, you think so? I thought opposite. I thought it was like I'm doing windmills in the mosh pit for Motorhead type mullet.
I don't know, man. That's how you.
You saw church?
Mullet? I've been to Tennessee. Things are like I'm in the country of Tennessee. That's some country shit, right? That's like country strong right there.
That's your question of the day. Who will be the Raiders' starting quarterback Week 1? I'll tell you right now, nobody knows the answer. But if you think you do, you have a chance to gloat.
Look, I'm not gonna shit on you guys for feeling the way you feel. Just give me a little bit of, you know.
There's a lot of huge Favre fans that think he's the man.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that love Favre, and I love him too. But we have to be realistic. Man, I don't like doing that. I don't like falling in love with players until they've shown you what they can do, because that love fools you in everything. You love Taqueria. It's the best Mexican food out there. You love the stripper. No matter what she does, you know, you're still going to take her back. You gotta be realistic. You gotta be realistic about who someone is and who they aren't.
We don't think, and again, we bring this up all the time. Like, we fell in love with Favre probably before all of you guys, right? We were into Favre very, very early. Oh,
once
shit!
Once I saw a picture of him, like, okay, I saw his tape, right? I think I showed you I sent you the.
Well, we fell in love with him purely because he looked like, you know, from the movies, right? He looked like landfill. Well, that was the first thing. And then we saw his tape and we watched him play. We're like, oh, wow. Like, he had all these things going against him.
That Motor City Bowl game against Tennessee. Yeah. Like threw for like 500.
His touch and his timing and like the fact he was throwing to like white receivers against Ohio State's defense and still playing well. Like, shit, there's got something here. But the ceiling seems pretty obvious. But if you're seeing something that we're not, right? If you out there are saying like, no, like this guy's about to explode and become a stud and be our starter, let us know.
Look, guys,
we've missed it. If you see something that's happening, we missed it.
Let's just be realistic here. He's not mobile. He doesn't have an NFL strong arm. Okay, his arm's stronger than all of ours, but it's not an NFL. You would say, oh, man, this guy's got an NFL strong arm. Like, no, dude, he doesn't. And I think everybody, every evaluator, every person we've had on the show agrees he doesn't have a strong arm for an NFL quarterback. So don't come at me with that bullshit, okay? I'm willing to go back and forth and listen to what you have to say. But if you say, oh, well, he's more mobile than you think, like, dude, I'm just going to skip. I'm not even going to read the rest of it.
I'll read it, guys.
No, he won't.
I'll read it.
No, he won't. I promise you he won't.
Well, and it's not even just like strong arm for long balls. It's bad weather strong arm, tight window strong arm. That's the stuff that I think
late throw strong arm. Like,
that's you know, off balance strong arm to compensate for not having your feet set. You know, like that's kind of, you know. Again, these are all the things that we've talked about forever. But if you guys see something we don't and you think it's Farva, let us know. Because there's Raider Nation is well behind Farva. And I love seeing it.
I am too. Look, I would love nothing more.
I love seeing love for Farva. It warms my heart.
I want him to do well. Like, he's already in the building. It was the same thing I said. Like, dude, I didn't like Derek Carr, but I would love for him to freaking just snap out of it and be somebody that be the quarterback that a lot of people thought he was, because he was already in the building. Why would I not want him to do well? Mm-hmm. Of course I want him to do well. He's starting for my freaking favorite football team. Of course I want him to do well. Of course I want Farber to freaking make like a Herculean jump in the second season. Of course I do. He's already under contract. Why would I not want him to do well? I just don't see it. I don't see him being a, you know, top 10, top 12 quarter. I don't see that. I just don't see it in him.
Comment section. Let us know. Starting quarterback. So apparently there's a certain level of disagreement between Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce. The level of disagreement, the consequences of said disagreement are all to be discussed, which is what we're going to do right now. So Tony Pauline had a story. There's been talk about the Las Vegas Raiders wanting to move up for a quarterback. That was reported last week. The latest coming from Raiders draft meetings is that head coach Antonio Pierce wants to trade up for a signal caller, yet general manager Tom Telesco is leaning heavily to sticking with second-year quarterback Aiden O'Connell, free agent signer, Gardner Minshew. Pauline was on Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q, and he said, Antonio Pierce knows that they need to improve the quarterback position. He wants to move up and get a quarterback. Now you've got Tom Telesco, who's a first-year general manager, who I think understands the amount of draft capital that is going to take for the Raiders to move up and get a quarterback. He's very hesitant. Rather than give up the massive amount of draft capital that would need to be that would be needed to move up, I think Telesco was saying, let's see what we've got. Maybe we'll get a quarterback later on rather than give up all these picks to get one of these guys. I think it's going to be, if not virtually impossible, nearly impossible for a variety of reasons. Number one, the two teams selecting right in front of the Raiders, the Broncos and Vikings, also want to trade up to get a quarterback. The Giants may want to trade up a few spots to get a quarterback. And then how far down do the Arizona Cardinals really want to move? So you knew that inevitably there would be a disagreement at some point between the head coach and general manager. That's what you do. You collaborate and you have different strengths and you think about what you're going to do. And it seems very... on par, it seems very stereotypical that the coach is like, just go. And the GM is like, let's do the math.
Yeah, I mean, it's
makes sense, right?
It's common, right? The coach thinks next year and the GM thinks 3 to 5 years down the road. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely see why, because AP wants to hit the ground running and he wants his guy because he wants to win right this second. And Telesco knows that it's not always possible to do that and still set yourself up for long-term success. Mm. And, you know, this is probably a conversation going on in New York, in Denver, in Minnesota, possibly in Seattle.
I think it's a conversation going on in 32 franchises. A GM that's like, here's my plan, here's what I want to execute, and a coach that's like, here's how we win right now. You know what I mean? I think this is a very usual conversation.
Yeah.
My question is, how aggressive, when they're saying like Antonio Pierce wants to be aggressive, how aggressive is that? When they say Telesco wants to be conservative, how conservative is that, right? So like conservative can be trade up from 13 to 11. That could be conservative compared to whatever, right? Antonio Pierce's aggressive could be trade up from 13 to 11, or it could be trade up to one, right? Trade everything for one or whatever. And Telesco could be like, nope, we're just staying at 13 no matter what. We're not budging. There's value to this pick. That's what we're doing. And again, we're both kind of still learning about Telesco and Antonio Pierce. Like, I can look up Antonio Pierce's bio. I can look up Tom Telesco's draft history. I don't know him as a man, as a human, because he's new to the Raiders, right? If I was a Charger fan, I'd know Telesco really well, because I kind of can like see, I know his day-to-day moves, right? I can see how he sees and smell how he smells. But how do you think that back and forth goes between AP and Telesco? Like, is AP just like gung-ho? Is Telesco pull right back? I'm very curious.
I think that, you know, as far as being in the information gathering stage, I think it's about how excited or how they talk about the potential moves.
Is it just Jaden Daniels? Do you think it's just that, or is it philosophy? Okay.
I think that's the guy that AP wants. So,
and I think that's exactly the back and forth. Telesco's like, dude, I know you want Jaden, but like the price tag for Jaden is ridiculous.
It would be another thing. Let's say, for example, the Chargers supremely just shit the bed. Or no, that's not a good example. Tennessee.
Oh, that'd be terrible. No,
Tennessee completely shit the bed, and they're the number two pick. Okay. They don't want a quarterback, so they're more apt to trade back. Washington wants a quarterback. They need a quarterback. That's going to make the price go even higher because they're giving up their chance of getting, you know, one of the top picks in their eyes. Mm-hmm. So the price is just going to be way too high to get up there. I just don't see it happening. And, you know, I could totally see AP being like FTP, right? Fuck them picks and just get up to the front. I mean, the Rams haven't had a first round pick in like 8 years or something like that. I think 2016 was the last time they had a first round pick. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. But they've won a lot of division titles. They've went to the Super Bowl a couple times. They won a Super Bowl. They've got like seven, you know, playoff wins at that time. But that roster was in a different position than our roster is right now as mm-hmm. far as construction and stability. So I understand where AP is coming from because he has a lot of belief. But I think just like we talked about, it's not just the view of winning this season or winning 3 to 5 seasons. It's also you're looking at the roster the same way. Where AP's like, oh, these are my guys. I can win with these guys right here. Where Telesco's like, well, we need some help here. We need some help here.
This is exactly the relationship that should exist. Yeah. In coach and GM.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a healthy back and forth between two people who want the same things but are wired differently. Like that's why you have it be two people and not one, right? You don't have one, right? You have like the Jekyll and Hyde with John Gruden.
I really like this guy. I like the cut of his jib. I'm gonna take it.
He's a Gruden grinder. He's a grinder. Fourth overall.
What a toad freaking John Gruden was.
Who do you think wins a standoff?
Telesco.
If it's just like, well, okay. Telesco. So we know on paper, right? So this is, let me ask you this way. We know on paper, like Telesco has final say with the roster, right? On paper, legalities, he has that power. But we've seen it happen in franchises and in politics and business and everywhere where it's like, on paper, you have the power, but AP could command certain offices. He can get Mark Davis on his side. He can get team presidents on his side. He can get players on his side. Like, you can politic and gain authority, gain power where you don't have authority, right? Telesco has the authority. He's been ordained, right? You are ordained the authority of the roster, right? But we know that's not concrete. We know that can be circumvented. I wonder if AP has cachet enough to beat that.
I don't think so, man. I don't think so.
It's pretty early. It's pretty early for a rookie coach to have that.
Looking at it logically, you have someone with a decade of experience and another guy with no experience at all.
Yeah.
Draft.
Well, and I think that's why Telesco was brought into, like, babysitter is a harsh word, but like, okay, we need like
guide.
We need a very, very seasoned vet. We need an adult in the room to go with the battering ram that is AP. The awesome, amazing, this whole roster is going to run through brick walls for AP, which is what you want. And now we need a sober head to kind of do the math, right? We need a nerd in the nerdery with their calculators to handle the awesomeness that AP is developing.
Look, a good GM gets information from everywhere inside his organization. Okay. College scouts, pro scouts, position coaches, head coach, all that stuff. He gets that information from everybody. Mm-hmm. Whose information does he weigh the most? Is it the head coach? Is it his assistant GM? You know, Chap Kelly? Who is his college scouting director? Who? I think that is Champ Kelly, actually. Same dude.
Double champ.
So it's like, it depends. It depends on whose input you value most, because he's going to get input from a lot of different places. And I just think, I mean, this next week right now, I think all their visits are done with. All they're doing right now is mock drafting over and over and going through scenarios every single pick every day. They're going over through all different scenarios. Who do we talk to? Who do we get on the phone right now? Don't. Why am I getting so blurry? I'm moving around too much.
The helicopter is moving.
Yeah. So come on. I'm getting sick over here.
Windy. Gets to get windy up there in Henderson.
The windy's nuts were in your mouth. So these guys are talking already. These GMs are like, look, man, if something happens, I may want to pop up in there. Well, what would it take to jump up to here or there or wherever?
Well, look, this very first draft, again, we're hoping that AP and Telesco are our head coach and GM for the next 20 years, because that means we're winning, right? Like that, like if they're there for a long time, that means it's successful, right? They are figuring out their relationship in real time. Like, this next draft is going to be them kind of feeling each other out. Like, AP gives a little nudge this way. Telesco gives a little nudge that way. AP takes it up the ladder to Mark. And then Telesco brings it over to Champ. Like, you know, like, they're all kind of like, not in a malicious. I'm not saying it's automatically malicious. But you're feeling out where you're at your workplace. Like, what power do I have? How much sway do I got? You know, like.
I really think that's what they're ironing out right now. They're ironing out all the scenarios.
100% in real time, in real life, in the draft.
If you're calling a team for the first time on draft day, you're going to get fucked. Because if you haven't talked to this team, unless you want to just supremely overpay, you have to make these relationships early. And I don't know that we've had a guy that's been savvy enough to do that properly for 8 years.
That's all I want out of Telesco. That's not all I want, but that is a
foundation of what I want from him.
That's the primary thing I want, is understanding logistics, understanding value, being understanding a sober head,
tips with other teams,
a sober mind that take a breath. Go over everything. What do you want? We can make it work. The This is what we can do. This is what we can't do. Here's what the math says. Here's what you believe. Just a general sober mind in that room. That's what I'm looking for. You know, AP is going to be gung fucking ho, which is what we want. We want that. We don't want to put a saddle and reins on Antonio Pierce. Like, we want him to be great. We want him to like fucking go. Tom Telesco's job is, all right, I will get you where you want to go, but this is, you know, we're going to do it in third gear for a while, and then we'll kick into fifth gear and, you know, when you want to. Like, that's what I'm hoping this turns into.
So let's tell us a story time. Okay. Story time. We're probably in the mid 90s, probably 96 ish. Okay.
All right. Teenage RJ getting out of puberty.
Right into
puberty.
In the world of professional wrestling, WWE was getting their butts handed to them routinely.
Yeah.
And there was a writer on staff at WWE named Vince Russo. And he had these outlandish ideas, just crazy ideas. And he would throw out all these crazy, like a notebook full of crazy ideas every week. It was up to the owner and final say, Vince McMahon, to weed out, to carve, to mold those ideas into something that can play in his vision. But the idea spark came from Vince Russo. And that worked. And that helped them get back on top. Now, when Vince Russo left and went to the competition, he didn't have that filter. And the competition sunk even faster than before he got there. So you need to have that filter of a guy who has that foresight, a guy who has that ability to be calm, like you said, and know how to construct something for now and later, not just the now.
How great is it that the dude who's the calm filter is the dude who poops on chicks' heads?
I don't think that was done purposely. I think that he farted on her face, and because he's got a loose butthole, because the guy's like 90 years old.
Yeah.
He just shit on
his shutter speed isn't what it used to be.
Look, guys, any of us, you know, we've all had a shitty day, okay?
So, you know how when you get older and it's like, all right, as I get older, I'm going to need glasses, or my hair turns gray, or
hey, man,
I limp. Diapers? That's going to be very, very early on my old age list. I can tell you, I'll spare you the details, but it's old RJ when he's old.
Look, man,
diapers is going to be on. It's going to be on the list.
When I was younger, I would blow farts any and everywhere. I didn't give a shit. Just I knew I can freaking catch that log, you know?
Now
it's like, nope, I'm just going to wait. If you don't mind. I'm just going to wait until I feel a little bit more comfortable with this release.
How am I going to work out my sphincter? That's the question.
You got to do like the male Kegels. You got to really pinch that sucker off. The male Kegels,
the Brogles.
Yeah, the Brogles. Oh God. Why are we talking about this?
Well, because we're going to talk about Bill Belichick, who's in his 70s. So there's a really good article on ESPN about Bill Belichick, for whatever reason, he's, I would say, at worst, top three best NFL coaches of all time. Like, it hurts to say it, but sure, like you can definitely make a case he's number one. And he's available to be a head coach right now, yet he is not. There's half a dozen NFL football teams that said, Bill Belichick, I know you've got, what, 7 Super Bowl rings and 2 decades of success, but we don't want you to be our head coach, right? Raiders being one of them. A really good story on ESPN about that whole process of Belichick not being the coach. I highly recommend you guys take it. Read it. But the Raiders-specific element of that story was this one. Talking about Bill Belichick being on your staff, and part of it was like, who is he going to staff under him? And this quote was great. The executives also were concerned about the staff Belichick would bring with him, including assistants who had worked with him in New England and then had struggled on their own. Josh McDaniels, we're all very aware of, Joe Judge, Jack Easterby, Matt Patricia. At one point, Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, asked Belichick why his charges had failed elsewhere. Belichick replied that he thought they were better soldiers than generals. Now, I think that's undoubtedly true, that the success that the squads under the Patriots, that Patricia, Judge, McDaniels, the list, like the list goes on and on and on of offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, linebacker coach, whoever under Belichick, they had so much success in New England, but basically no success anywhere else. Literally only Vrabel, who wasn't a coach under Belichick, just a player. He's the only one that I found like consistent success. And even he doesn't have a job right now.
Weird.
Shocking. So I look at this quote, Soto, and I think to myself, is that like, we'll get to the Raiders specific part about Joshua, like Josh McDaniels specifically, but just on this whole Belichick story, is that a, like, is Belichick shooting himself in the foot by saying that, like, well, you know, all my guys are soldiers, not generals? Well, then it's like, what did you do wrong? Why could you not bestow your knowledge to these guys to handle it on their own? Because I understand Belichick trying to make it sound like, well, like I'm the secret sauce. Like they can't do shit without me. Like I, you know, I kick them down what I need them to do. And that's why the organization is successful. And I understand like that's like the, you know, the story that he's trying to
portray. That's the takeaway, yeah.
That's what he wants. That's what he wants out there, right? It's like, no, you know, no one's shit without me. But I don't think it's the like Trump card he's making it out to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's really concerning for me, someone who's been in leadership positions before, that none of the people underneath him have succeeded in being promoted, mm-hmm. have succeeded in that promotion. That shows lack of it does show a lack of leadership and a lack of development. And it might just be a mindset where I'm not going to teach you why I do things. I'm just going to tell you to do them and they're going to work. I'm not going to tell you why. I'm just going to tell you what. And if you're right, it can work like Belichick, if you're right. But it doesn't help the people around you to learn why you do the things you do. And that's an issue. And I don't know that that's such a huge issue for an owner because he's not hiring an assistant
coach staff. Factory.
Yeah. He's not hiring. He's hiring a guy that can win football games now. But you have to look at what the mindset is when you have somebody who's like that. And depending on who you believe, Robert Kraft is either the biggest cock block in history, or he's just a friend trying to be honest with another friend who's an NFL owner about what they'd be getting if they hired Bill Belichick.
Now, on Josh McDaniels specifically, we all saw how he wasn't a general; he was just a soldier, very specifically under Belichick. But you got to imagine, like, this whole the whole Tom Brady factor of all this is another part of it too. Like, was it just Tom Brady that held this together, or was it Bill Belichick? Because none of these guys have, like, Tom Brady succeeded without any of these guys. None of these guys have succeeded without Tom Brady. None of them. McDaniels, Belichick, none of these guys. As time goes on, it feels like it wasn't Belichick's Patriot way. Like, it was Tom Brady that was the glue.
Yeah, it was Tom Brady's play and his mental fortitude, who was able to take that type of coaching for a long period of time. And he was able to decipher the why, not just the what. So he was able to take that somewhere else.
And everyone says, like, he was the ultimate teammate. Like, he was, like, the best teammate. Like, Antonio Brown, he was like, imagine letting Antonio Brown stay in your house. Giselle is your wife. You have little kids. And you have this dude, like, no, yeah, AP, you can live here. Like, that's a level of sacrifice as a teammate I wouldn't make, you know?
Dude, giving him a place to stay, I wouldn't give AB advice. I wouldn't give him anything.
I wouldn't let AB watch my pet turtle, let alone sleep down the hall from my daughter.
Dude, I wouldn't let him. I wouldn't let him like make sure that my sprinklers came on every day. I wouldn't let him. I wouldn't let him near anything.
Because he'd be like, "Oh, you need a sprinkler?"
Yeah, he'd just start pissing everywhere. Boop, 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 that freaking 13-inch dong of his.
So there's been so many mock drafts leading into this draft, as always. But there's one of them you really liked. You brought it up. You texted me this morning, and we're big fans of Dan Brugler on this show. Big fans of The Athletic.
I love his stuff, man.
It's really good. Really good draft.
Have you
analyst.
Seen his beast? His beast scouting report.
The whole thing. It's a whole PDF.
So freaking good.
It's called The Beast for a reason.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of mock drafts out there. We're not saying that this is the one that's going to happen, but it looks pretty awesome if you're a Raider fan. So here it is. They went Terrion Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama, with our number 13 pick, traded up to number 29 to get Michael Penix Jr. That leaves no picks in rounds 2 and 3. For 4, Braylon Allen, Wisconsin, running back. Number 5, Jamari Thrash. Sweet name. Wide receiver.
Such a good name.
Number 6, Walter Rose, tackle, Stanford. Number 7, Laden Robinson, guard, Texas A&M. Number 7, Evan Anderson, defensive tackle, Florida Atlantic University. So you text me at like 6:15 a.m. this morning. You were you're so jacked on this mock draft.
Yeah, I was like waiting for my chick to finish her set at the gym, and I'm like, oh my God, hurry the hell up. And I'm just like, now looking through it. I'm not so concerned about the actual names themselves. There's a couple that I'm like, all right, cool. We got the quarterback. We got the quarterback that, I mean, I like Michael Penix. There's a lot to like about him. Picking him up at the end of the tail end of the first round is a great play, especially if it only costs you a 2 and a 3 this year. Does it cost you anything any other years? Well, actually, a 5 next year, I think we gave up as well.
It was pennies further out.
What we were getting. And I liked the construction of the draft and the players that we did get. I liked those players. We need a young running back to pair with Zeus. Amir Abdullah is not a long-term, he's not a long-term answer. Mm-hmm. We need a third wide receiver. Keelan Coles, I don't think he's around anymore. Hunter Renfro's gone. We need a third wide receiver who we can groom with our other two starting receivers. We need some depth and help with Whitehair being signed from the Bears, who's familiar with Getsy's offense. I think we can roll out with what we have right now and have a pretty decent offensive line. Mm-hmm. These guys that we draft don't necessarily need to start right away. But the guys that we did get are guys that, have show some promise. So I'm more concerned about the theory behind the draft and why things are happening than the actual players, because we all know the players are going to be hit or miss, 50-50, right? If we get – if you get 3 or 4 starters out of a draft, that's like a home run, So Terrion Arnold, I don't know if I sent you the time clip of the interview Terrion Arnold did today on Moving the Chains on the Sirius XM NFL radio. This guy is super confident, and it's not cockiness, because he's telling you, he's telling you about, this is how you defend a back shoulder fade. This is how if you scout the receiver, his pivot points are going to be 5 yards and then 10 to 12 yards, because these are the only routes he runs, So he's confident because he's been coached really well. Nick Saban coached secondary, man. So he's going to be coached really hard, So I like the way this draft was constructed, and I happen to like the players too.
I understand. The like you say, the construction of this draft, right? Like what we're saying with number 13, it's all right, if all the quarterbacks are off the board, that means that there's a lot of something else. And what this draft is strong at is what we need: cornerback and tackle. We need, so if there's a run at cornerback, we go tackle. If there's a run at tackle, we go cornerback. And we get arguably the best corner in the draft.
A guy mentally that fits what you want. A guy that's a dog.
An AP type dude. An AP type dude. For sure. AP type dude for sure.
Arguably, because no one knows for sure, but arguably the best guy at a position of need at 13, that's a steal pick if you can get a number one guy at a premium at a premium top five position. We already talked about the top five guys.
And then trading back up into round one to get Michael Penix. Penix around at number 29. I don't know if that's realistic. Again, quarterbacks of this draft, who knows, right? Like it's such lying season. It's such lying season. Penix still there at 20. I like the move here, right? If Penix is at 29, the Raiders are like, we're trading up. I think it was the Bears, right? At 29, where they?
No, Detroit.
Detroit, excuse me. So they're just like, okay, if he's still there at 29, hey, Detroit, let's make our move. Love the move. We'll see if that actually pans out. But then after that, it's like, all right, high picks at glamour positions, and then they just go volume after that, right? 6, 7, and 7, lineman, lineman, lineman. They made it up in volume, or they didn't commit with quality. So it's like, okay, I understand the structure of this. We didn't address the big needs at offensive line until round 6, so we went all O-line after that, hoping we can get some depth, or one of these three guys should be able to give us some productivity, right? You get three guys at linemen, 6, 7, and 7. One of those guys should give you some productivity. So I understand the construction of this draft class for sure.
And if you take a little closer look at the actual players themselves, Braylon Allen is a beast. He's like 6'1", 235, and the guy runs a 4.4 40. If he needs any help with anything, it's maybe his lateral movement before the line of scrimmage. If you can get penetration in on a
true running Wisconsin back, running back.
Yeah, he's a downhill runner, dude. He's not a freaking shifty guy. This dude is a freaking workhorse. He will tilt the rock as many times as you give it to him. And he's a beast, man. He's a beast. Jamari Thrash, think of like a young his issue is he's not strong. He's like 6'1", but he's only like 185 pounds. He's not that big. So his strength is an issue, hand strength, stuff like that. But as far as route running, this is one of the better route runners in the draft. But his issue is he gets beat up a lot because he's not that big.
And his name isn't sweet enough.
Yeah, his name isn't sweet enough.
Jamari Thrash.
I really do think, you know, you get into the pro, you know, got a little HGH or something in you. And you get a pro level, you know, lifting program. You know, you get Deuce in there to freaking pump you up, and you get Devontae showing you how to be better at your craft. You know, it's a good pick at 5, and it's a pick that's in position of need. And also, he has a really high level talent that you need, which is good route running. Rose, he is not that athletic, but he's a freaking mauler. He's huge, like 6'6", 320, 315, something like that. Huge guy. He's nimble on his feet, but he's not super athletic. So you can clean up a little bit of, you know, some of his hands or something like that, and he can be a, you know, middle-of-the-line starter for you on the right side. And Layden Robinson is like the opposite. He's super athletic, but his technique isn't great. But if you get a guy like him at like 6'4", I think he is, about 310 pounds too, who's super athletic, yeah, man, you can teach him some technique, and you can teach him hand placement. And Evan Anderson is just a bowling ball. I think he's like 6'3", 320 or something like that. And he's quick off the line, but he's not going to, you know, once you stop his initial move, that's pretty much it for him. So they all fit. They all make sense. And it's rare that you get a guy that isn't a Raiders, you know, a Raiders writer to hit every one of those picks at a position of need that fit into what we're looking to do. And that's why I really like this mock.
It was a good mock. And also he leaned on the Raiders writers at The Athletic. Like he attributed, like, oh, Vic Tafer said this about what they want to do about this position. And so, like, you know, he leaned on like the stat, like the vast girthy staff at The Athletic, which part of their benefit, right?
You've got girthy,
rotund. This last one, last story I want to get to before we get to what up Quinn Bags. Robert Spillane is such a blessing. Undrafted free agent, random college, bouncing around, and he's turned into like our man. Like, I was I was like, fuck, why do we give him a 2-year deal? Who is this guy? This doesn't make any sense. Thank God they did. Like, wow, they saw something that certainly I didn't, right?
Dude, and, he was like on the defensive Jacoby Myers. Like, mm-hmm. I liked him. I saw tape when he was starting at the tail end of the year in 2022 with Pittsburgh. And I'm like, all right, well, I see something there. He played really well once he was given playing time. I didn't know it was going to be this good.
And it was also like he was famous because he had a great tackle one time, you know, like that's what kind of like how everyone knew his name. And now he's getting like pick sixes and he's amazing in coverage and he's running defenses. You're just like, even optimistically on tape, he never had any of these things. Thank God we got him.
Thick ass neck.
And he gave this answer to the hip drop rule that's out there. And you ask any NFL linebacker, oh, hey, you know, the NFL rules committee, a bunch of bureaucrats are trying to make your job harder. What do you think about that? Here's his answer.
Do you have any opinion on the hip drop rule and, you know, with all those changes being made, how do you think that that will propel you to become
At the end of the day, it's a rule. We've had rules in this game forever. You either learn how to abide by them or you get penalized. At the end of the day, I am somebody who's a big proponent of player safety. So if the stats are true, if people are getting injured at an unnecessarily high rate because of a play that could be stopped, I believe it's good for the game. I am all about the longevity of football as a whole, and I love this game of football, and I want to see it played for 100 years from now on. And if it's for the betterment of the game, I'm all about it.
I don't know if you can see it on that frame, but Roger Goodell was literally holding a gun to his head out of frame to make sure that he said exactly all the talking points you want like when the NFL Academy. Makes tackling harder for a defensive player.
Like Police Academy, he was hiding under the podium.
Dude, before this, Spillane was talking about how, like, yeah, my job is to be as violent as possible as a tackler. And then he's asked about the hip drop. He's like, well, it's all about the safety of the game. If there's anything that the NFL can do to maintain the integrity and safety of the sport, I am all about safety of football. I want everything to be happy and hunky-dory. I want everyone to go home with sunshine and roses. And
oh, my God.
Someone was given a script, and Robert Spillane is that someone.
Yeah, the media relations really just kind of broke it down for him before he went up there.
They did their job. PR is getting a raise because they got Robert Spillane, thick neck Robert, who's just out there to hurt people. Like, oh, I broke my hand. Take me out for 45 seconds because I want to crush someone's skull. Is straight up, oh, no, the integrity of the game. I want to make sure it's safety. I'm going to follow the rules every single time, and this is all I care about. I'm going to make sure everyone's safe.
I'm a law-abiding citizen.
I thought it was funny as shit.
It was hilarious.
Are you just one of my backs?
Yes, sir.
Janoi Kresva. I would have loved to see Jaden Daniels versus Michigan. Guaranteed you he would be a sub-60 quarterback rating. Well, yeah, because Jaden Daniels didn't play anyone good playing in the SEC. You know, nothing but shit defenses.
Man, look, when anyone says guarantee, you know, they're just talking like straight out of their butt cheeks, you know? And I understand what he's saying because the probability is he would have had probably one of the tougher games because that defense was legit.
I would love to see Jaden Daniels versus Michigan defense. No, like for sure. I would.
But very, to guarantee he would have a sub-60 QBR, that's like that's he not played giving Auburn's Jaden Daniels defense enough credit.
And Alabama's – like he played some good – this isn't a fucking like NC like Division II quarterback. Like he played the best.
He's the Heisman. He's the Heisman winner. Yeah, he has a couple of receivers that are going to go probably in the first round of the draft, and he had weapons galore. He has a couple more guys that are going to be probably in the first second round next year. Mm-hmm. So he had that offense was dialed in. He not only beat those really good teams, he put up a lot of points against those really good defenses.
Raiders guru, the team is not lukewarm on Aiden O'Connell. You are lukewarm on Aiden O'Connell.
I think this might be Aiden O'Connell.
Are we more lukewarm than the team? I feel like we're about as hot and bothered on Aiden O'Connell as anyone in that building.
It's a common thing, man. Whenever you don't agree with somebody, they feel you're on the polar opposite end. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. You and I are really big fans of Aiden O'Connell. We want him to far exceed our expectations because he's already on our team, right? But looking at it from through a realistic lens, there's a lot of things that he just can't get better at. He's not going to get more mobile. He's not going to get a supremely stronger arm. Those are things, and I broke it down last week. When you separate the best, the really good elite quarterbacks from just the good ones, it's how often you can make a play even when the defense is right. And to do that, you have to extend plays, and you have to be able to fit the ball in the tight windows. And those are things that need traits that Aiden O'Connell does not possess.
And we're hearing Antonio Pierce straight up, you know, I think what Raiders Guru was getting at is Antonio Pierce has been like very vocally positive about Aiden O'Connell. And it didn't hit me until like a day or two ago. Like there's the obvious reason where it's like, look, he's our second year quarterback. Like, why would I shit on him? Like, why not shovel positivity in his direction? Like, well, why wouldn't I? Like, he played his heart out. He did everything I asked him he could possibly do. And he's going to be a quarterback of ours, whether he's QB1, 2, or 3, or whatever, for several years to come. Hopefully he's in the Raiders building for a long time. We want him to be full of confidence and getting better and want to be here. Like, there's no bad reason for AP to not hype up Aiden O'Connell. But it didn't hit me until a couple days ago. What if he's hyping up Aiden O'Connell for a trade? Like if he does get his way and we spend a giant check of tray of picks and whatever to get up to number 3 or whatever it takes to get to Jaden Daniels, Aiden O'Connell is probably part of that trade. Because why would you want Aiden O'Connell and a rookie quarterback? Right? Like it's kind of like
especially when you're paying Gardner Minshew so much money.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of redundant. So he'd probably be in part of that trade. So is AP hyping up Aiden O'Connell just for Farva to be like more confident and be a better player, or because he's trying to add a little extra trade value to him because he's going to be packaged into the King's ransom that's going to be necessary to get into the top 3? Something that hit me this week.
Yeah, man, look, I don't have to necessarily agree or disagree because I'm trying not to go down that road with a lot of things, especially when there's so many unknowns. I'm trying to be able to follow logic, and I can follow that logic, and it makes sense. It's not like, yeah, I can follow the logic, but it's like super like out of left field. No, that's because we've seen that happen before.
If we let's say we do write a huge, like whatever it takes to get in the top 3. Like let's say we do that trade. We're stupid not to involve Farva in that trade because whatever quarterback we get, like that's our project. That's our development guy. That's our young quarterback for the next 2-3 years at least, hopefully longer. So Farva doesn't fit into that picture at all, right? You got Gardner as the
to keep him, and there's also like you're outlining reasons to trade him away. You know, you have Minshew on a short deal, only 2 years. You want to have a capable backup with 17 game season. You want to have a capable backup. We've seen what 60 quarterbacks played started games last year. So you want to have the backup quarterback is no longer a clipboard holder. That guy needs to be able to go in there and go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I understand keeping Farva and allowing him to develop, even though he's not the future answer as a starting quarterback,
but if we can also save ourselves some trade capital.
Agree. I agree.
Right.
Because no, so he's only like, going to be in his second year.
He was a fourth rounder for us.
I get it.
We can get a second rounder for Aiden O'Connell.
I agree.
Like, In a package. We got him. He was a fourth rounder. Last pick of the fourth.
I think he performed above.
He takes some of the sting off the package, right?
I think so. Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's probably worth more. He's probably worth equal to like maybe a 3. Because I think had he had the same situation going into his senior year that he had his junior year, I think he would have been like a late 2, early 3 pick.
He's shown enough where there's a quarterback coach and offensive coordinator out there that says, I can win with him. I can make it happen for him. You know what I mean? I think he's shown enough where all it takes is one OC, one QB coach, one head coach to be like, oh yeah, I've got the genius. I can make it happen. And again, like, do I want Aiden O'Connell to be on the Raiders for 10 years? Absolutely. But if we can turn him into, all right, we're paying a king's ransom to get into the top 3.
Upgrade.
And he can take some of the sting off that trade. And why would we have 2 essentially rookie quarterbacks on the same roster over the value that we can get for him? If we make the trade,
I follow the logic and it makes sense.
He needs to go if we do a trade like that. I don't think we're going to. I don't think we're trading the top 3. But if we do, he needs to be part of that package.
Watch it happen. I just freaking shit my whole ass out. Like, oh my God, we did it.
Frank Pulleri.
Pulleri?
Hockey is great to watch, Soto. Give it a chance, my friend.
I can watch hockey live. I was
shocked how much hockey support we got in the comment section.
Well, you know, they're Vegas guys. But look, I've been to hockey games before, and hockey like live, I can watch it. I can watch it because you can feel it, right? On TV, I'm just like,
the best,
do anything for me.
The 2 best sports to take a chick to, like, let's just, she's not a sports fan, but you want her to, like, what's easy to understand? MMA.
Fights, yeah.
Number 1, fights.
Any type of fights.
2 is hockey, because it's so easy to understand. High action. It's like, once you explain, you know, like, offsides or, like icing, 99% of it, it's easy to understand. Like, there's the puck, you're putting it into that net. That's it. That's all you got to really understand.
For sure, man. I remember
it's high energy.
Julio from the gym, he had a fight at Commerce Casino. Yeah, it was Commerce Casino. And it was the one before they moved into that big tent outside. So it was before pre-COVID. So it was the one in the ballroom still. And we had seats like right in the front, like for line, one of the line fights last like cards at the Commerce Casino. We get in there and we're like second row back, and the first fight, or these guys are just elbowing the shit out of each other, and you just hear that thud smack, thunk, thunk, thunk. And she's just like, I wasn't prepared for all that. Like, I was like, I didn't think there was going to be like that. And I'm like, yeah, man, when they get in there throwing those elbows, they sound nasty.
That's when you knew she was moist.
Oh, yeah. That happened. I made it happen that night. We had tacos and everything. Oh, it was a perfect night. Fights, food, and fornicating.
All right, that's it for us. Next week is the draft. We'll be doing our show a little earlier in the week. We'll do a live show Thursday night for the first round. If The Athletic is correct, we'll have Friday off because we'll have no second and third round picks. But we'll do a live reaction show in real time. Come join us on Thursday. So that means we'll do our big show. We'll record it Tuesday to be live Wednesday, a day earlier. So you have a chance to like listen, watch, kind of live it before we go live. And then it'll be sporadic yet comprehensive coverage all draft weekend. Round 1, Soto and I will be dialed in. And then Friday and Saturday, we'll make sure you guys are covered. Not guaranteed that we'll be there for every single pick.
I want to watch the draft too. I want to listen to it too.
From 2 through 7, but we will make sure you are completely covered. Don't you worry about it. And probably a guest next week to change things up.
Ooh.
Till then, knock on wood if you're with me.